Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hey there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post Weekend Football Postcast. Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon, Dan Childs and Paddy Powers. Jason Murphy looking ahead to a great weekend. We've got all sorts of good derbies. Tottenham v Arsenal, Fulham v Chelsea and Everton versus Liverpool. We'll have the best bets for those and everything else that the lads fancy. We'll start off though not with my six questions, but we'll do listener questions this week for a change. We've had some belters. So we'll rattle through these. We'll start off, Dan, with you. You're a bit of a championship master. Tony Gold says, what's the best championship bet this weekend?
This weekend, I think Forest are a good bet. Stoke, I think they're around 3-1. The other one that I really like is Middlesbrough at Wigan. Since they've had a few injuries at the back, Middlesbrough, had Ayala suspended and Flint's been out for a few weeks. But it's in a funny kind of way, it's made him, Pulis, go more positive with his selection. And he's playing attacking wing-backs. And they're playing a lot better football now. They're getting better results and Wigan are on a terrible run. And odds against, I think Middlesbrough are a really good bet there at Wigan.
OK, Mark, Steve says, is there any value in opposing Lincoln in Division 2? Are the panel concerned about their form? Too many draws. Should I be doing some sort of cover with either Bury or Mansfield? Steve's in the same boat as me. He's on Lincoln. What do we do? Hold firm or...?
It's a tricky one because... I mean, I think there was just one team you was. I am worried about Lincoln because they're not playing particularly well. But what they are doing is grinding it out, and they've got that advantage already. So I don't think I would lay off purely because there's too many teams that are potential dangers. That's your issue because how do you choose between Bury or Mansfield? Really, I mean, I'm not really a fan of backing 2 and 3 against them at this stage. I had 2 on Lincoln. I'm on Mansfield as well from Anti Post. I am Lincoln's the much better winner. I'm as nervous as what Steve is. I'm not sure I would be laying off because Lincoln don't play great football. They are a grinding kind of team. So I think you just have to accept that this is how it is with the way they play. They don't dominate games.
Okay, Matthew says, how often do the guys lump on a team in play and is there any value, especially in circumstances where a favourite goes a goal down? Jason, I'll ask you this first. Am I right in thinking that when a big team, a hot favourite, goes a goal behind, and that obviously the price goes right out, do you quite often find there's a lot of takers for them in those circumstances?
Absolutely. The money does come, so if it's, especially going back a couple of years ago, Man United, like when they went behind and had a knack of coming back and winning those games, punters would cop onto it and they'd back it, definitely back it heavily. Personally, I would like to be eyeballing the game. I wouldn't just back it off the fact of just seeing that the team has gone behind. But if you're watching a game, you can get a feel for it yourself. You know, the prices that will be generated across the board are only coming off a couple of inputs and mightn't necessarily be aware of the game state. So if you're eyeballing the game, and for example there last season, I think Bournemouth against Arsenal, Bournemouth went a couple of goals up and Giroud did that stupid celebration, I think, when he equalised rather than getting the ball. But watching that match, you could see yourself like Arsenal are coming back in this game. The momentum was coming. So not necessarily backing the win, draw, win, but even just backing the next goal in that kind of a game in the second half, it's obvious that Arsenal are going to score. But like everything, if the price is right, make sure you're happy with the price when you do decide to lump in.
Okay, I'll ask you boys, because obviously I know you're great judges pre-play, but I just wonder what your in-play betting tactics tend to be. Dan, do you do much in-play?
I don't really do a lot of in-play now.
It's all about the long list for you, isn't it?
So much long-term research and looking at before the game that I'm very reluctant to sort of lay bets off or make any adjustments in play.
And on average Saturday, how many teams will you back? What, anything from what to what?
Average, I'd say between sort of 7 and 10.
Okay, Mark, in play, do you do much?
I do. It probably is more impulse than anything else. There's probably, it's sort of something I do rather than advise others to do. Really.
Is that based on the fact that perhaps the prices are ticking down off an algorithm and they don't necessarily reflect the fact?
Yeah.
Particularly if you're looking at a lower league game, presumably, and they're absolutely battering them.
To be honest, though, I think you're probably better off swimming against the tide in those situations. I mean, I think Jason just said there, you know, everybody comes on and backs, you know, a Man City or whatever. You know, that doesn't get missed by algorithms, you know. So I think you probably... I remember reading some stuff from Kevin Pillane about this, that you're almost better, you are better off sort of backing against that kind of momentum feel, if you like. It's not a comfortable position to be in, but I like it towards the end of the season. I think that you can, there'll be teams where you can back goals where, you know, both teams are absolutely desperate for you know, they both need to win. And I'm not sure that that does get factored in quite as much as what it should do. About a month, the last game of the season, obviously, but I think from about a month out, teams are probably more desperate than the algorithms and even sort of the match odds suggest.
Okay. Well, talking of desperate, Tim's desperate for Leeds to go up. Can any of the lads please reassure me, Leeds are still going up. They don't need to win it. We'll take second now. Dan, what do you think?
I don't think I can be reassuring here. I mean, I fancied Leeds for a long time, and even at the sort of turn of the year, I was asked, you know, who's the most likely to go up and even win the league. I fancied Leeds, but ever since the kind of spy stories broke, their form has, I think that since then they've won three, lost three, and drawn one. Now, if that kind of inconsistency carries on, that's not going to get you into a top two finish. And I fancy QPR. Tip QPR to beat them in the week because you just get the feeling that with a small squad there, it is starting to tail off a little bit. And the teams, you know, up and around them, the Sheffield United are showing no sign of stopping, are they, at the moment? Norwich are still playing some great football. So,
Do you think Bielsa naming his team early is a hindrance to Leeds?
Well, this is really strange because, I mean, he goes to such great lengths, or he has done, to find out what the other team are doing, what team they're going to play. And then with his own team, he announces it the day before the game. I mean, you know, how do you work that out? I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure they know. I did a bit in the column today. You know, they're talking about knowing about people's set pieces. So it's not like an NFL playbook. They just lump it into the box.
It just seems strange that you go to such great lengths to find out what the other team are going to play and then just give your own.
I don't agree with giving your team out the day before. There can be no positive outcome. There can only be negative outcome from that. You know, you're not gonna you know, win more points by that. You can only lose points. I'm not saying this makes a big difference, but it could make small details can often decide things.
Sam says, do you professionals have bogey teams that you never touch due to their unpredictability or previous losses? Here's a Swindon, Reading and Morecambe. Guys, do you watch, do you take every single game as a blank sheet, or do you find yourself a little bit tainted? Jason?
Once bitten, twice shy, but sometimes slow to learn as well. And just Fulham comes to mind now this season. Last chance saloon, I went again with them against Southampton. I thought just with the extra couple of days rest, the fact that, you know, they needed to get a result, it was now or never for them. And yeah, Fulham just doing what Fulham
they've turned it in. They've turned it in, honestly. Yeah, they're a disgrace. Absolutely appalling. Any other bogey teams, Jason, at the moment?
No, more or less than just take each game on its merit as best you can. You know, you try to be objective as opposed to subjective when you're trying to pick prices and pick bets. But I'll be opposing Fulham between now and the end of the season.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're a horrible side. Mark, do you have any?
Morecambe's the interesting one there because I suspect, obviously I don't know, I suspect that the Twitter user there, it probably backs, Morecambe are really good as underdogs. Like they... the amount over the last sort of 5 years under Bentley, the amount of times they, you know, upset the odds when they're away from home to sort of, you know, big teams. Yeah, so I would be wary. You know, I could understand why he's a bit wary of opposing Morecambe there. No, I mean, I think you just
can't.
You can't really. I mean, there are certain teams that are very inconsistent. I mean, we've spoke about West Ham and Leicester. And you're never quite sure which team is going to turn up, but it wouldn't put me off completely, no.
And do you ever find yourself sort of being surprised that you're against a particular team on a given game because you've been a little bit against them?
But some often in those cases they work out to be the best bets. I was struggling to justify why I fancied QPR. But I watched them play against Watford in the cup. They've been on a club record run of losses in the league, and they're playing against the team Leeds right up the top. And you're struggling to kind of justify the reason why you fancy it. But having watched them against Watford, who are a better team than Leeds, you've quickly got an argument that if they can trouble Watford, then they can trouble Leeds. So. No, I think sometimes the ones that you can least justify in a weird way can be the best bets.
Okay, I've got one here that I'm going to take. It's from Johnson Budgie. It says, who's the most underrated TV pundit and co-commentator at the moment? The most underrated commentator is Jim Proudfoot, who I think is absolutely superb. It's not like he's going skint. He's earning a good living, I'm sure. But I think he's one who could operate at the very highest level. Superb. And co-commentator, I don't know what you think. I'm a massive Ali McCoist fan. I just think Sky or BT should just write him whatever check they need and get him on the team. I think he's absolutely superb. Any you like, Mark, a little underrated?
I mean, Ali McCoist did brilliant in the World Cup. I mean, I think, though, the World Cup, you know, we saw with VAR and various other, Kieran Trippier, that, you know, that kind of form doesn't last forever necessarily. And if McCoist was thrust into our living room, you know, twice a week, like Alan Smith is, three times a week, you maybe end up getting bored of him as well. So I think you should. I like sort of more rotation, I think, now. I think that just generally, like, I mean, Souness, people like Souness as an analyst, but I think he just says the same thing now. And, like, I just like Jamie Redknapp, for instance, you know, you don't need him there every week.
No.
You know, there's enough of them to go round that all of these people could do, you know, once a month. I think Hinchcliffe's he's quite a refreshing.
He's innocuous. Yeah, that's the one thing you don't want him to be, is offensive, isn't he?
No.
You don't want him to annoy you. And I'll tell you what, I had Beglin the other day. It was nice to have Beglin.
Another one as well, Dirty Don. Dirty Don Hutchison does a lot of BT's European football. You can tell he watches a lot of it, and he's sort of interested in the game and does his research. So he may be one that, that maybe slips under the radar.
The best one, by the way, in terms of assessing tactics and telling you what's going on, is Stuart Robson by a mile. I think he's absolutely superb.
Danny Higginbotham as well does the tactics quite well.
Right. So, yeah, okay. There's a lot of player that you probably thought was the most overrated in his playing career, Jermaine Genus. I think he's, whenever you watch...
I like Genus.
Yeah. And especially when you watch him doing cup games as well for lower league, he does his research. He is...
I should hope he does. I mean, they all should. I know they don't.
He's in the Saturday Racing Post jury this week.
Oh, I love him. Good old JJ. Right then, what have we got here? Oh, yeah, discuss Brendan Rodgers' move from Celtic to Leicester. It hasn't gone down very well, obviously, in Celtic. Jason, are you surprised he's done that, or do you see it as a logical thing to do?
I think it's logical for him, and I think the Celtic board were expecting it as well. If you look at the signings they've made this season, they haven't really made anything that they have signed or loan signings. So they haven't given them the money to spend because they weren't expecting them to be there to spend it. Also, if you look at the betting, like Claude Puel, is before Christmas, the tragic helicopter crash, we all thought Puel was soon to be sacked and probably would have been sacked only for the tragedy. But in the betting for the Leicester manager market, like Brendan Rodgers was always there or thereabouts, top of the market for that. I think his reputation, wouldn't say in tatters, or, you know, it's just he left Liverpool in not such great circumstances, you know, they got close to win the league, and it's always a question of was it Rodgers or was it just the phenomenal brilliance of Luis Suarez, which I think it had a lot to do with it. So he went back up, went up to Celtic to restore his reputation, which he has done, but he always had an eye on coming back to England. And, you know, Leicester is just a stepping stone for him again, as in he's looking at a top six job. He's thinking, I come into Leicester here, do well for a year or two, and then, you know, the likes of Arsenal, Tottenham, whatever may happen, you know, when the next job comes up, that's where he'll go again.
Okay, we'll discuss Leicester later on because obviously they're involved in one of our live games on Sunday. A final one, James says, best bet for promotion or relegation from any of the leagues. We'll have one each from the lads. Any promotion or relegation bet? Dan, start with you. Marcus, you want to spring to mind?
I like Forest Green. Forest Green season in League Two, so I'll go with them, yeah.
Okay, Mark?
That is a tricky question. I mean, I think in terms of League One, I think Rochdale are in absolute world of pain there. I mean, it's a very competitive heat at the bottom of League One, but they were battered again at the weekend, 5 by Plymouth. The stats didn't make for pretty reading from that game. Double figure shots on target for Plymouth. In terms of, they've got Luton next, so I mean, that's probably going to end in defeat, isn't it? So they would be the ones for relegation.
Okay, that'll do, yeah. And Jason, what about you?
I'd have a look at Preston for promotion. There's 66 out there,
don't we?
Yeah, we were on them pre-season. They're unlucky with injuries, but everything's coming right for them there now. The league leaders, Norwich 3-1 there just a couple of weeks ago. I think the top five in the championship will stay as it is. So it's just about getting that sixth position, and they're playing Bristol City at the weekend. And we talk about Bristol City going on these runs of winning games and then going on runs of not winning games. So they've lost their last two, so they could be going into one of those runs now. Derby County as well, when it comes to XG, they're just not creating chances. They're relying on Harry Wilson to bang in 30-yarders week in, week out to actually get them results. Birmingham have a thin squad as well. So, like, Preston, they're only 6 points off six. If they beat Bristol City at the weekend, that 66-1 is going to shorten up massively.
I'm on. I'm going to be on now. Yeah. Thank you. Excellent stuff, lads. Let's look at the first of the live matches. And for two of our three panel, it's the big one. They're Tottenham fans. 12:30 at Wembley on Saturday. Tottenham versus Arsenal live on Sky Sports. Jason, give us the latest betting from Paddy Power.
Tottenham evens with the draw 13-5 and Arsenal 12-5.
Mark, you can go first. Does that evens excite you?
Not overly. I think it's probably the right price. I mean, Tottenham a little bit better than Arsenal, so you'd imagine that the evens is the way to go. Would have been shorter, but I think it's understandable that it's not, given Tottenham coming into it off the back of two away defeats. The performance against Chelsea was very odd. I mean, they didn't concede that many chances, but created very little, and they'll be sort of a little bit fearful, I think, now of top four. There's, Chelsea, if they carry on with that kind of attitude, they're going to be there or thereabouts. United are obviously impressing, so there is a bit of pressure on this game. The bet I like is a high-scoring game, so both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. I mean, if you have a look at Arsenal, they're not very good away from home against the big teams. I mean, they've only got one away win in their last seven in the Premier League. That was at Huddersfield. They've conceded 13 goals in their games away to the big six already. Over 2.5, and yes, has landed in 11 of their 13 away matches. I think Aubameyang and Lacazette, are obviously great attacking players, but the balance of the team still isn't right for these very difficult away matches. So,
what price is that, Mark?
It's 10-11 early kickoff. Slightly makes me nervous, but
I think Pauline said that we always thought the early kickoffs were low scoring, but I think they've actually turned around.
Yeah, I mean, and just in terms of Arsenal's last couple of games, I was looking at Arsenal first as a way of getting with them, but you have a look at like the shot stats from their victories over Southampton and Bournemouth. And it was very close. I mean, 4-4 shots on target against Southampton, 6-5 despite the 5-1 against Bournemouth. Part of that's down to the fact they've got brilliant strikers. Part of it's probably a bit of luck as well.
Okay, Dan, what do you think? Are you worried?
I'm concerned, about the top four race now. I have been, even before this run, because you can see the fixtures coming up. But I'm going to go with a draw simply because I don't fancy either team really to win. I think Arsenal have had the better lead into the game. I mean, the game against Bournemouth is going to probably taken a lot less out of them on a Wednesday night than Spurs' game at Chelsea. So that's a factor in their favour. Spurs having the two defeats is going to be a bit of a dent to the confidence. But on the other side, like Mark, I looked at Arsenal's away form and it just doesn't fill you with any confidence. 5 wins in 13 Premier League away games, easily the worst of the big six. And their record at Spurs isn't great either. They've had one win in the last 10 visits to Tottenham. I know it's at Wembley, but they lost at Wembley last year in the only previous game Spurs hosted them at Wembley, and that was a really one-sided game. Although I think it was 1-0, it was a 1-0 hammering, really. So I just don't fancy either team to win the game, so I'll go with a draw.
Okay, Jace the Ace, what do you like?
Yeah, I'd side with Mark on the over 2.5 goals, and I'm expecting goals as well. It was 4-2 the last time they met in the league. If you look at the players on show, Kane and Son, 26 league goals between them. Aubameyang and Lacazette, 28 goals between them. Like, so it's going to be a goal fest. I'm so disappointed that Tottenham are out of the title race. The fact that they have to play Liverpool and Man City, we missed out on a couple of great games there to look forward to. There'd still be great games, but the fact you had a three-horse race, it would have been a lot better. I think the fact Spurs didn't spend money is part of the issue. Kieran Trippier again made a mistake the other night. He made a mistake for the game against Man City at Wembley as well, when he let the ball drop over his head and they lost that game 1-0. And a week later, he tried a nuts in the corner, lost the ball and led to a penalty for Wolves. Spurs were 3-0 up in that game, got away with a win 3-2, but he's just making too many mistakes offensively. And Lloris as well, you can't be sure of him in the goal. I thought he should have done better for the first goal the other night with Pedro through the legs, and again it's lack of communication. He's at fault as well for the OG the other night, and we've seen in the World Cup final as well, he made a mistake but got away with it there obviously. So I just think Spurs need to spend the money, just fine going forward offensively, but defensively they need improvements for next season if they're going to get over the line and become a true title challenger. In the goal scorer markets, I'm going to tip up Lacazette. Reason being, he's got 6 goals in his last 8 games. If you look at Lacazette over the last 5 seasons, going back to when he played with Lyon, he scored 102 league goals. The stats would say for the chances he's had, he should only have 85 goals in that period. He's 17 goals more than expected. That's the sign of a quality finisher, and that's what he is. So Lacazette, there's 6-1 out there in the first goal scorer market. And just because it's a London derby, Kane, players, when they come back, they're not 100%, and therefore they can get frustrated when they're not playing well. We've seen Kane have it out with David Luiz last night. He's actually Tottenham's top, he's got the most bookings this season for Tottenham. He's got 5 yellows already, and he's going up against Socrates this weekend, who's Arsenal's highest bookings with 8. So have a look at them individually, or even the same game multi, for both players to be carded there. Just with it being the London derby, it's going to be close, it's going to be tetchy. So have a look at the booking prices when they become available.
Love that. Thank you, Jason. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Dan. Back in a mo with the 3 p.m. Saturday games.
Right, 10 seconds to promote Paddy Power Games. Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games. Advertising. It's easy when you know how. Paddy Power. Enough of the nonsense. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Let's look at the 5 games that kick off at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon in the Premier League, starting with Bournemouth v Man City. Jason, gives the prices and your fancy.
Yeah, so Bournemouth 11-1, the draw 11-2, and Man City 1-5. Man City are going to win here, obviously, it goes without saying. Bournemouth still missing Wilson. Brooks was back on the bench yesterday, but he's not going to make a difference against a Man City team that will steamroll over Bournemouth, who defensively were shocking against Arsenal. Don't know whether Steve Cook is going to be back in the centre of defence for Bournemouth. They were just really bad last night. Naki looked lost at times. Man City, the last 7 times against Bournemouth, they've beaten them with a goal record of 27-4 and only 3 conceded. So it's a Man City win, but I can't see value in the win-draw-win markets still, so I'm going to look at a goal scorer, and I'm going to go with Raheem Sterling at 9-2. He's 12 goals in the league this season already. He's non-penalty XG. He's averaging a goal every other game, which is fantastic. And the fact that he was rested last night means I think he's going to start this weekend. So have a look at him at 9-2.
Okay, Mark?
Yeah, I've got Sterling to score first.
Right.
As well, I just think Bournemouth, I think you sort of made the analogy last week about them sort of leaving their chin out, and just taking the punches in these type of games. I mean, very occasionally it comes off. They beat Chelsea 4-0, but more often than not, they get hammering. I wouldn't back City at the, put them in the Akers or anything. They're probably short enough, but yes, Sterling.
Fernandinho out again?
Yeah.
They're going to admit it. Do you think that's a potential key element of the title battle, that, Mark? I think we're talking about 5 games, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, with the international break probably comes at a nice period, and there's FA Cup as well. So probably, and they've got the Schalke game, they're almost home and hosed in. So it's not come at a great time, but if you were to pick a time for it to come between now and the end of the season, now's probably the best time.
Okay, 2 votes for Sterling. What do you reckon, Dan?
I'm going to go City 3-0 at 7-1. With Fernandinho being out, I think I would have looked to oppose City if David Brooks and Callum Wilson were fully fit. You know, Bournemouth's key attacking players. The fact that they're not, Brooks was on the bench, as has been mentioned, but he's not going to be fully fit. Bournemouth, worst defence outside of the bottom 3. So, shocking defensively. City, comfortable for me.
Brighton versus Huddersfield. How do you bet, Jason?
We've Brighton 8-11, the draw 23-10, and 4-1 Huddersfield.
And what happens here, Jason?
Brighton have only picked up 2 points in their last 7 games. If you go back from January 1st, they'd be bottom of the table as it stands. Their most creative player, Pascal Gross, is out with a hamstring injury by the looks of it. And if you look at the last time these sides met, Huddersfield were actually 1-0 up, and Steve Mounier was probably unlucky to be sent off after a half hour, and Brighton came back to win the game 2-1, but still didn't create much against 10 men. Huddersfield, you know, they'll have a bit of confidence after getting that late winner against Wolves. The fact they're 10 points behind Brighton, it really is, you know, a last chance loom for them. But given Brighton's struggles this season, I know they're normally better at home. The fact that Huddersfield would have to go for a win if they were to have any chance of staying up, even though it's a very, very small chance, I don't see value in the draw, no bet. I'd just go for the Huddersfield win because they'll have to chase it if it's a draw, 4-1.
Right, Mark, I mean, if a team starts the season with 2 points out of 7 games, they're very short price to go down. So that just shows how bad this Brighton run is, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. They've got, and this is not the only one, they've got these sort of very winnable home games that they're looking at to keep them up. But of course, you've still got to win them. They've only won 1 of their last 12 in the Premier League. All 5 of their home wins have been by 1 goal this season. And since the start of the last season, they've won 12 home matches, and half of those have been 1-0. So that's the way I'm going to be heading. I think Brighton will have targeted this game like massively. I think anybody that's got Huddersfield now at home, you've got to try and add, like Newcastle did last week. I'm going to go for a 1-0 home win, or Brighton to win by one goal.
And Dan, what are you going for?
I'm with Jason here. I think there's worse 4-1 shots around than Huddersfield to win at Brighton. It was late on, looked like they deserved to beat Wolves. Jan Stewart does seem to have got them going. They're probably going to go down, but they're going to go down fighting. And Brighton must be getting really nervous. You know, so close to the relegation zone, 2 points off, no winning seven. I just think they're worth a chance in here, Huddersfield.
Okay, let's do Burnley versus Palace next. Jason, what's the latest betting?
Burnley 7-4, draw 21-10, and Palace 13-8.
And we'll start with you here, Mark.
A very, very difficult game. I'll draw, tentative vote. I mean, Palace, I do like Palace more away from home than at home, but the Sakho injury, I think, it is a big one for them.
Particularly against this lot.
Yeah, exactly. That sort of the Wood and Barnes physical presence up front. Burnley, only one defeat in nine. I thought they were a little bit unlucky, I suppose, really. That first goal that Newcastle scored from Cher, I mean, it's absolutely stunning goal that you can't really defend against. But they showed against Tottenham that they are, you know, a battling and sort of back to being Burnley. So wouldn't be surprised if this one finished all square in a low scorer. Palace like to counter-attack, but Burnley don't really give you that option.
I tell you what, Sean Dyche, you've got to hand it to him, Dan, haven't you? I mean, you know, it looked like the magic wand had lost its power, but he's gotten back being, as Mark says, being Burnley again.
Absolutely, and I would edge towards Burnley, and the fact that they're a bigger price than Palace, I think they're probably a little bit of value. I think they might just nick this. The way Palace are strong away from home, but Burnley, even at home, they don't really open up. They just play the same way, you know, keep throwing balls into the box, wait for something to break, but they don't overcommit forward and allow Palace that room to exploit. And I just thought that was a bit disappointing, the Palace performance in the week against. I thought they would give United a tougher game, maybe even win the game with the injuries that United had. So I was a bit disappointed with that. I'll go with Burnley here.
This could be last on Match of the Day, couldn't it, Jason?
Yeah, it'd be fair referred. We'll get the boys and product to price it up, and we'll have it on site. You can place your bets, but I'd side with Mark as well. I'd be looking at the draw. Identical records last five games in the league for both teams: 1-2, drew 2, lost 1. We've mentioned Sakho being out. Trying to find an angle, less than 10% of Palace's goals have come in the first 30 minutes and only 21% of Burnley's. So you can get 4-7 that the game will be a draw after 30 minutes. But if you like the bigger price, I'd be siding with Mark and I'd be looking at the draw full time at 9-4.
Okay, Man U v Southampton. What's the latest betting here, Jason?
Man United 4-9, draw 3-1, Southampton 13-2.
And Dan, how are you going to approach this fixture?
I think this will be low goals. I'm going to go both teams to score no. I just think there's the United's injuries, it's taken a lot of creativity out of the side. So when you've got a home game and a team that's probably going to sit in, I'm not sure they're going to have a great deal of creativity to break them down. They'll probably nick the game, but I don't think there'll be many goals. I think Southampton will struggle to score. Ings has been injured for quite a while. The doubts over whether he's going to be involved or not. So, low goals for me, so I'll go for both teams to score no at shade odds on.
We beat them on XG last night, believe it or not.
Yeah.
They just took their chances. We didn't. It happens sometimes, doesn't it, that way?
Yeah, I'm still not completely sold on the way they're playing. Their results have been great, but I'm not totally convinced by them.
I tell you what, Jason, there were two performances at Selhurst last night. The players should have been... I mean, if he could have made five substitutions, I know one of them went off. Sanchez and particularly Fred, they were absolutely dreadful. Fred, 52 million. Goodness me, that's an awful one. Do you like United here, Jason?
Yeah, no, I'd be a bit reluctant at the price that they are. It's probably, you know, it's probably a little bit on the short side at the moment, given that Hiera, Lingard, Matic are definitely out, and there's question marks over Martial and Rashford as well. You know, Solskjaer, if he was picking his best 11, that's five of his best 11 that are possibly missing there. Southampton, kind of went a bit more defensive against Arsenal last week and just played Redmond up top on his own, and I'd imagine they'll do the same here. They got a big win as well against Fulham. The fact that they'd lost to Cardiff, they play Tottenham next, but then their game after that is Brighton, and that's going to be massive when it comes to a relegation battle. But just looking ahead to this, I still think United will win. I think they'll get the job done. Solskjaer, he was 6-1 to be United manager the first day of next season when he got the job back in December. He's now 1-5. I thought it was a very good PR appointment. It lifted the gloom at the time. It brought back, you know, good memories of the Champions League victory and stuff, his goal. But long term, I'm still not sure if he's the right man to go. You know, there's no body of work there to look on. And like I say, with the players that United have in that squad, anyone coming in after Mourinho, you would like to think would improve the performances. Having said all that, anyways, looking at this match, I'd be looking at Lukaku. Just given the injuries that United have, the fact that he scored two last night, I'd expect him to start again. And he has this habit of going on these little bursts of goal scoring runs. Like, he hasn't scored since the 1st of January, since the 5th of January against Reading in the Cup. But the fact he got two during the week, when he does play, he averages a goal every other game. So 92 first goal score, giving United are 4-9 favourites. 92 for Lukaku is a very good price.
Mark, do you think United, or Solskjaer's almost performing too well for some United big cheese's liking?
Because I think Woodward would like to make this appointment, because it's an easy one, isn't it?
But I
hear what you're saying, because as Jason said, that sort of long-term body of work and the process of a whole pre-season, how you want the team to play, what happens when you do go on, you will go on a losing run, what happens if one of these star players doesn't like him and then the dressing room begins to turn. Maybe it won't happen, and you can have this great run through for a couple of years. You don't know. But no, because I'm not sure that Ed Woodward is very good at making decisions. So actually having it made for him is quite a nice break for him, I think.
Okay, will they win this?
Maybe. Wouldn't back them at the prices. I looked at under 2.5 goals. I mean, Southampton went away to Chelsea, got the 0-0, went away to Arsenal, only conceded 4 shots on target, lost the game 2-0, haven't got much up front. But United, if Martial and Rashford, and if you've got PSG coming up, maybe you don't risk those for this game anyway. So I think it may be a narrow win for United. I just thought that Dalot played in a more advanced position, still priced up as a right back, so he may be one, if he plays on the right wing again, maybe one to check when the teams are out.
Okay, and our final 3 p.m. games, Wolves v Cardiff. How do they bet, Jason?
Wolves 4-9, draw 16-5, and Cardiff 6-1.
And are you going to be lumping on that 4-9, Jason?
Absolutely not. When we were talking about teams that were nervous about backing or inconsistent, I throw Wolves in that bucket, especially when they're playing teams that they're expected to beat. They perform very well against the top six, but their last three games, if you even just looking at that, they've drawn with Newcastle, drawn with Bournemouth, and lost to Huddersfield. Like, you'd expect Wolves, if they're the best of the rest in the league, to actually go and win those games and win, the Everton Cup or finish seventh, whatever you want to call it. As far as Cardiff are concerned, though, there's a bit of bite, there's a bit of carryover from last season in the Championship when you look at this game. The first time they met back in August 2017, Nuno came out criticising Cardiff for their aggressive approach afterwards. And in the return fixture near the end of the season, when both teams were going for promotion at the top of the table, Cardiff missed two penalties at the end of the game and lost 1-0. And Neil Warnock was quite critical then of Nuno's celebrations afterwards. So there's a bit of bite in this. So looking at that factor, I'm going to expect Cardiff are going to go there. They're going to battle. And I think Wolves are too short for a team that like to struggle against these teams that are below them. So double chance, 13-8, Cardiff in the draw. But I'd also have a look at the booking markets. Neil Warnock was quite critical of his team midweek, saying, there's two or three players he wasn't happy with, and when it comes to this match against Wolves, he wants battlers. And one of those battlers would definitely be Harry Arter. He didn't start midweek, but I expect him to come back in. And if you look at Harry Arter, he's got 7 yellow cards already this season, or if you look at the last 3 seasons, he's got 23 cards. That's a card every 3 games. He hasn't been booked in his last 2 games, but he was booked in the 2 games before that. So if Harry Arter's on the pitch, he's going to get booked against Wolves.
When I look at other people presenting football shows and they have to work with ex-professionals who just come out with what happened in the last game, then I listen to you through with all your stats and all your wisdom. It is absolutely superb stuff. Great stuff, Jason. Mark, Wolves v Cardiff.
Well, initially I had the same thought as Jason, but then the more I looked at the game, actually, if you have a look at Wolves, outside of the big six, they have won 4 of their 5 home matches to nil. The win. So when they win, they tend to win to nil. So that was one bet I was looking at, and particularly Cardiff average only 2.7 shots on target away from home, which is the joint worst in the Premier League with Burnley. So not sure where the Cardiff goal is going to come from. Could be a frustrating sort of grind for Wolves, but eventually I think they can get there.
You got a cold?
I have, yeah. It's been there for a week now, Bruce.
You know what it is, don't you? Not enough fruit and veg.
No, I had a strawberry milkshake the other day.
blueberries on your pancakes next Tuesday.
You'll have to explain what blueberries are.
I mean, you won't be able to move for maple syrup. There's no room for blueberries.
We'll leave the vegan abuse to the Guardian podcast, where they really don't like Mark's diet whatsoever. What are you going to be feasting on here, Dan?
Yeah, I think Wolves are too short here. I'd go with Cardiff or draw a double chance. Cardiff did actually win at Wolves in the corresponding fixture last season. And they do often pick up these wins when they're on a bad run. They dig out a result from someone. They've had two wins in the last four away games, Cardiff. Wolves do tend to struggle against mass defences. Be a bit of a clash of styles. Wolves play their football. Cardiff will look to do something from set pieces. Got Umar Nias back. He was ineligible to play against Everton, so a bit more of a goal threat. I just think they're a little bit overpriced, Cardiff.
Okay, the tea time game on Sky is at 5:30. It's West Ham versus Newcastle, and it's they played for both clubs. So while the lads start thinking, Jason, what's the match prices?
Evens, West Ham, draw 23-10, Newcastle 11-4, and I'll just nab Andy Carroll there as the easy answer first.
Andy Carroll, yeah, that's the obvious.
Parker, Les Ferdinand.
Parker,
Glenn Roeder, play for West Ham.
Glenn Roeder, yeah, very good. I must admit, I've called it, and I don't think I've got any. Paul Kitson. Did he play for both? I think he might have done.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He did, didn't he? Okay, right. Well, lads, anyway, we're down to the business. Who's going to win, Mark?
I think I'm going to lay West Ham in this game. I'm going to take the clue last week when they were drifted like an absolute barge. They beat Fulham and they deserved to win the game, but the market was clearly against them. And I think that's...
Why does that matter, Mark? All that meant to me was I can get a better price West
no,
Ham.
No, for that one game. But I think it shows you that West Ham are maybe not as highly rated as what, you know, they... maybe the general public believe. And of course, that will on occasions be fine. But I mean, I think that, you know, West Ham are roughly the same price to beat Fulham as what they are Newcastle. And I think that Newcastle are quite a bit better than Fulham. You have a look at last 12 Premier League games, 4 defeats for Newcastle, but they came against Tottenham, Chelsea, United and Liverpool. I think the formation, the back three, is working really well for them. They've had an extra day of rest. I know West Ham didn't play everybody against Man City, but those that did spent most of the game chasing the ball. I mean, you had a look at the stats first half. You wondered if West Ham had turned up. They had so few passes or shots or anything. And I think that Longstaff's made a difference to him in midfield.
You like him?
Yeah. First time I saw him was against Blackburn, and I thought, blimey, you know. And then against Man City, he impressed as well. And we were on, I think, has just lifted the team as well. I think the draw's a fair runner in this game, but I'd rather be a layer than a backer of West Ham.
Okay, you can go back to thinking if they played for both. That's what Dan tells us who wins.
Yeah, I've similar views. I'm going to go Newcastle draw no bet here, odds against. There's only 5 points between the teams, and Newcastle are doing what they did last season, really. Had a terrible start, and now they're coming on stronger towards the end of the season. And as Mark's mentioned, there's good reasons behind that. With the Longstaff, they're making such an impact early in his Newcastle career. Almiron with a bit of creativity and a lot of pace as well. I mean, watching him play, he just gives him a bit of an extra dimension. And I've been watching quite a bit of him lately. They watched the Wolves game away. I thought they were unlucky not to win that game. Burnley, they dominated the first half and then just sat back really and saw it out reasonably comfortably. They're playing really well. And West Ham won winning 7. That was the win against Fulham. So they're not in a great run at the moment, West Ham. Newcastle for me.
2 for Newcastle. Is it 3 for Newcastle, Jason?
I'd go with the boys on it. Like you said, West Ham, they're one of those inconsistent teams. Newcastle are in a bit of form, just for all the reasons the boys have outlined. It's hard to know what way West Ham will line up as well. Arnautovic was ill during the week. He didn't start against Fulham, which might have partly explained the drift as well. If you're looking for a goal scorer, Almiron has looked lively when he's come in, but I'd still be looking at Rondon. There's 7-1 out there with one bookmaker, which is just too big. Rondon has 7 goals this season for Newcastle. Now, he's only played in 67% of their league games, but when he's on the pitch, he contributes nearly 40% of Newcastle's goals. So the 7-1 is too big. When I say 40%, I'm not saying he's Messi, but those are Messi-like figures. They're Harry Kane kind of figures when Harry Kane's doing Harry Kane things. So 7-1 on Rondon, first goal scorer, is the fact he's not on penalties to 40% is very impressive. So have a look at that.
Any more for they played?
Was it Pop Robson? Did he?
Well, Pop Robson is a Geordie.
Oh, right.
So he might have done. He might well have done, yeah. I mean, that's brilliant, because it even predates me, Mark.
I'm pretty sure. Did Lee play for West Ham, or was it Charlton? I can't remember.
He played for Charlton.
Yeah. He might have done. That's not a bad shout, there.
I don't know. He certainly hangs around.
Okay, well, if you've got any more, do tweet at Bruce Millington, and then I can go over to the sports desk after him. Oh, bloody hell, why didn't we get him? There was a goalkeeper, and I can't remember who it is. Anyway,
Shaka Hislop.
Yeah, yeah, well right. In. Excellent. Right, Sunday's three live games next.
Friends, or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon, Dan Childs and Paddy Powers, Jason Murphy. We were playing They Played for Both Clubs before the break, and we forgot, who did producer Rob's just
Kevin
say?
Nolan.
Kevin Nolan, of course it was. Okay, right then, three live televised games on Sunday. 12 o'clock is the first one. It's Watford versus Leicester. And Jason, how do Paddy Power bet?
Watford 7-5, draw 9-4, and Leicester 9-5.
You going to this game, Dan?
Going to this game.
What will happen?
I think Watford are a little bit overpriced now. The market's moved a bit after the midweek games. Obviously, Watford got hammered 5-0 at Liverpool. I'm a bit disappointed with that performance, really. I thought they would, didn't think they would win or even avoid it, but I just thought they would be more competitive in the game. Liverpool haven't been playing great lately, but I think they'll just park that game. There's no extra injuries or anything, so I think it'll be the same team that played there and against Cardiff, did so well against Cardiff. And against non-Big Six teams, they're pretty reliable. They've had three defeats in the last 15 games, Watford. All of those are against Big Six clubs. They've only had one home defeat against a non-Big Six side all season. That was against Bournemouth when they went down to 10 men in the first half when Cabaselli got sent off. On the Leicester side of things, I think everyone thinks when a new manager comes in that Rodgers is going to make a big impact. And then they did win, won the first game when he was watching on from the stands against Brighton. But I know there was an issue with Vardy and Puel, but watching Leicester, do you know what? I'm not sure that a lot of the players weren't playing for Puel. A lot of the time, even their defeats, there was a lot of commitment there from the Leicester players. So I'm not sure how much of an impact a new manager is going to make. So I'm going to roll against that a little bit and say Watford are a little bit of value here.
What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I'd agree with Dan. Absolutely everything he said there. Watford know exactly what they're at and what they're about, and you know their league position in the table reflects that they're having a very, very good season. Whereas Leicester, prior to the sacking, you know, did some very good performances. You know, away to Tottenham, they should have won. They won well on expected goals. They got the draw away at Liverpool, and also the home game against United. They were very unlucky not to get a result out of that game either. So Leicester, it was Leicester to play the way Leicester plays away from home with that counter-attacking style, and you know they've went into one at you know Chelsea there over the Christmas break playing that way with Vardy on the break. I'd be a bit more reluctant, but as it stands with a new manager coming in, you wonder is Rodgers going to try and change something too soon, too quick. So as Dan says, that Watford price based on what we know over the course of the season is just too big for me, so I'd be back in the Watford win. If you're interested in a few Rodgers specials, product team have them up here. So Rodgers to win his first three games in charge, that's against Watford, Fulham and Burnley 10-1. That he signs the Welsh savvy Joe Allen before the start of next season 16-1, or that we see a Netflix documentary on Leicester City next season 14-1. So just worth checking them out, but definitely that Watford price just looks a little big to me.
Okay, Mark.
Both teams to score, just a shade of odds on. I mean, Leicester are one of the kings in this market. Went in again against Crystal Palace last week. That's now 17, which puts them third in the both teams to score table behind Manchester United and Arsenal. I love them going forward. They haven't made the most of the chances they've created, but with Maddison and Barnes and Gray.
Tielemans was good last week, I tell you.
Tielemans played very well against Tottenham as well. He lost his confidence at Monaco. He's forward passing, always looking to pass the ball forward.
Not the only one there, is he?
No, he's not. He's not, you know. I think Leicester aren't an attack-minded team that Brendan Rodgers is going to love managing, I think. And I think that most managers outside of the Big Six would have liked that job because there's potential, there's money to spend. But
good club as well. Yeah, good stadium, very nice.
But defensively, I mean, even if they were unlucky to concede four to Palace, they still have conceded four to Palace. They conceded against Brighton, and Murray missed one unbelievable chance and another good one as well. So I don't think they've quite got the balance right between attack and defence. And Watford have got good quality in the final third. So I think this could be a... It's a weird old game, isn't it? Because Rodgers going back to Watford, so he might. What sort of reception will he get?
He won't get a good one. Nice. I was going to touch on that. When he left, it was a similar sort of situation to Celtic, where he was talking about the approach from Reading and said, "No, I'm fully committed here. I'm not." And then suddenly went. So there was a little. He will get a little bit of stick, whether deserved or not. I'm not sure. But.
I tell you what, for 40 minutes till we got that lucky goal last Saturday, what Leicester were absolutely brilliant. I mean, that is one of the luckiest 4-1 wins you'll ever see. They really were good. They were slicing us open like no teams have. So I think Brendan Rodgers, as you say, Mark, has got a really nice squad there and a lot of potential. The 2:05 live game is a West London derby, Fulham versus Chelsea. And Jason, I'd imagine Paddy Power, pretty short about the away side.
Yeah, we're 4-9 Chelsea, 11-2 Fulham, and the draw 16-5.
Jason, you can go first. What's going to happen here?
Yeah, so as I outlined earlier, I'd be opposing Fulham. Like you said yourself, they've packed it in. That's clear to see. Worst defence in the league. So I'd be looking to get with Chelsea, and I'd be looking at Chelsea to win to nil. Chelsea have only conceded 29 goals in 27 games. That's the fourth best in the league, so defensively very sound. Decent performance against Man City in the League Cup, given how they set up, and they got the win against Tottenham. You know, there wasn't a lot of clear-cut chances created in the game, but the one shot they did got on target with Pedro, you know, that was you know, they took their chance. So I think Caballero deserves a staying goal. I'd keep him in. He's got his clean sheet, and you know, Sarri came out yesterday after the game and he said, you know, the message was clear in dropping Kepa. You know, we're a team, we're not 25 individual players. And he said he did it to send a message to the dressing room as much as anything else. So that kind of contradicts what they were saying after the cup final on Sunday. But I'm happy it worked out for Sarri that Caballero came in, kept his clean sheet. I'd fancy him to keep a clean sheet on Sunday and Chelsea to win the match. We did pay out on Kepa, not the start. Punters packed it in well. We went up at the wrong price, really. They obviously knew something that we didn't. It was 11-4 there for him not to start, and we had a decent payout on that yesterday as well. So keep an eye out for a few specials going forward, but definitely Chelsea to win to nil.
A few rumours today, Mark, that Fulham might not have Ranieri in the dugout.
Yeah, he's fives, just as we were coming in, he was like fives on to be the next Premier League manager to go. The Fulham fans were singing some not very pleasant songs to him at Southampton on Wednesday night.
What, like you don't know what you're doing?
No, no. F off Ranieri, we want you to leave. That's about as riled as you can get, I think.
Yeah,
as far
down
as,
that way. Yeah, as far as throwing their quinoa salad at him.
I mean, they were over Christmas, it looked like he was getting it right. They had a couple of positive performances, but the more he's had them, the worse they look. I mean, they look, I think, even, like I said, I think Jukanovic would have done a better job. I mean, at least they were creating chances when he was there. I mean, the games were more exciting. You have a look at their last four, all been beaten by at least two goals. I mean, West Ham had, was it 20 shots in the penalty box or something ridiculous on Friday? 7 defeats in 8. Chelsea, I mean, I think Paddy Power won the shortest about Chelsea at 4-9. I think they're perfectly acceptable, really, to win. I was looking at the Asian handicap, so if they win by one, you get your money back. Anything more positive, then you win.
OK, and Dan?
Yeah, I'd echo what the boys just said. My tip would be Chelsea to win to nil, but I'd also have no hesitation putting Chelsea in the Akers. I think Fulham have just seemed to have lost their identity a little bit, really. I noticed he played Chambers and Zambo Anguissa, who's quite a defensive-minded midfield player, strung them in front of the back four at Southampton. Only had really Barbo and Mitrovic up front with not a lot of support. And I mean, when you need to win games at this stage of the season, we're talking about teams that need to win games a couple of months out. Well, Fulham are like that now. And you've got to at least have a go. And they've really just... gone down without a fight, really. And I just don't see, if you're going to struggle to create chances against Southampton, how are you going to create chances to score goals against Chelsea, who are now picking up good performance in the League Cup final, followed it up by beating Spurs. They weren't great against Spurs, they were just workmanlike, really, but I don't think there will need to be anything more to beat Fulham.
And our third and final live Sunday game, 4:15, Everton v Liverpool, the Merseyside derby, the worst quality, most disappointing football match down the years. It always, always is. It's played at too fast a tempo and it's not a great spectacle. But you never know, it might be good this year. How do Paddy Power bet, Jason?
We have Everton 9-2, the draw 3-1, and Liverpool 4-7.
What do you think, Mark?
I think you may have called the game right. I think there's three ways of looking at it. One is under 2.5 goals. There's only been three goals in the last four meetings between them at Goodison. Everton have a really negative vibe going into this derby. I mean, we saw how they managed to lose the game at Anfield with the Pickford error. They haven't won any of the last 18 derbies. Now, that's a ridiculously long run, and I think that does get into the psyche of the game. So maybe something along the lines of, if you don't want to play the unders, draw half-time, Liverpool full-time. Liverpool, though, only 8 goals in their last 5 Premier League away games in their matches. 6 of the last 7 at Goodison in the Merseyside derby have been draws at half-time. So I think Everton can keep tabs on them, at least for the first half. So if you just want to back the draw at half-time, that's about a 13-10 shot. That might be another way of going for it, but I'm not expecting a classic.
That sounds like a nice portfolio that, if it is boring and dull and frantic and narky, at least you might make some money out of it. Dan, what's your approach going to be?
Similar to what I was talking about earlier in the show about QPR and Leeds in midweek, I'm struggling statistically to make an argument for Everton, but I feel they're going to get a result here. I just look at Liverpool away from home recently. 1-5, that was the 1-0 at Brighton. They're not actually playing that well on their travels. I know they're not travelling very far, but it is Everton away is a tough game, I think, for them. Everton needed that win at Cardiff, I thought, for confidence. You know, to win by 3-0, that is going to be a huge boost for a club that have been, you know, a lot of pressure on Silva, everything that was going on there. Sigurdsson got his 2 goals, he'd be feeling a lot happier. And I just feel that Liverpool away from home, I don't trust them at the moment, and I think Everton will cause them a few problems and may nick a result. So Everton will draw a double chance.
Jason?
Yeah, I'd just echo exactly what the boys have said. That last time the bet Liverpool was on the 17th of October, it was 2-0 win at Goodson. Tim Cahill and Mikel Arteta with the goals. But 5 of the last 6 meetings at Goodison Park have been a draw, and 2 of those 3 meetings were 0-0 as well. And look, the return fixture at Anfield this season, if it wasn't for Pickford, that would have been a 0-0 draw as well. So I'd be back in the draw there at 3-1. For the Everton fans, absolutely, as the boys say, go for Sigurdsson there. He's 11-1 out there for first goal scorer. He's on penalties and free kicks. He's got his best return this season already in the Premier League, 11 goals. So he's in a bit of form and he's having a very good season. If you're going the Liverpool route, 2 goal shouts, I'd give Van Dijk there. He's 9-1 anytime. He got 2 goals there last night. For a centre-back, his XG is about 0.1 of a goal per game. Now, your normal average centre-back that goes up for the odd corner here and there averages about 0.05, so he is an attacking threat at set-pieces, and it's been pointed out this season, Marco Silva and Everton, how poor they are defensively on set-pieces, so have a look at Van Dijk, 9-1. But for me, Sadio Mane, I've been tipping him up all season. He's 5-1 out there to score the first goal. 6 times this season, he's been the player that's broken the deadlock for Liverpool. Mo Salah, the way he's priced in the market, if he's on penalties, i.e. if James Milner does not start, then there is some value in Mo Salah. But if James Milner starts, Milner's on penalties, Salah does not get the penalties, and therefore there's no value in Salah. But there is always value in Mane, and there has been throughout the season. He's got 14 goals in the league this season as well. That's his best return in any Premier League season too. So have a look at Sadio Mane, 5-1 first goal score.
Before we get the naps, I need each of you to give me the answer to this question. Who will win the title and by how many points? Jason Murphy.
Man City by 4.
Mark.
I think it'd be tighter than that. I'll go Man City by 2.
Dan.
City by 3.
Interesting. Okay, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, producer Rob is a Millwall fan, so I don't want to upset him too much, but I'm going to have to tip Norwich at evens to keep their promotion push up. At the New Den, Mark.
There's a bit of 4-5 about Forest or draw, double chance at Stoke. Stoke, 1 win in 13 since Christmas. And have a look at Forest's recent performances. 2-1 against Brentford, 1-0 against Derby, 2-2 away at West Brom when Dwight Gale got done for diving, which cost them the victory, and 0-0 at Preston that You know, I think anybody would take a draw at Deepdale. So Martin O'Neill has turned Forest around. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe the team was always good side. And, you know, they're fighting for a playoff spot. So maybe even the 3-1 to them win the game is a little bit big. But I'll play it safer than that.
Dan.
I'll go down to League One and second place Barnsley, 8-11 to win away to mid-table Southend. Southend have had a load of injuries for quite a while now, and no winning six, it's affecting their results. Another injury now, they've got Stephen Humphreys fractured an eye socket in the 1-1 draw at Accrington last Saturday. He's an important striker for them, been scoring a lot of their goals recently. Barnsley are on a great run, unbeaten in 14 league games, and there's a bit of a doubt over whether Kiefer Moore will be available. He's had concussion and missed the last couple of weeks, but Corley Woodrow, his strike partner, has got 6 goals in his last 8 games, still got a good goal threat. So Barnsley for me.
Jason, bring home that 4-timer.
Yeah, we're going to go for Atletico Madrid to win away at Real Sociedad. Real Sociedad, the market has been against them the last couple of weeks. They've been drifting and they've also got a couple of injuries. Ilir Mandy in centre midfield, who's played at Real Madrid, is a big loss for them. Also doubts over Yanazai. Whereas Atletico Madrid, if they win this game, they close the gap to 4 points on Barcelona, who play Real Madrid that night. And Atletico Madrid also still have to play Barcelona this season. And if they win it, they'd have the better head-to-head record. So Atletico Madrid need to go and win this game, put a bit of pressure on Barcelona. Diego Costa's back. Morata got his goal last week, so he's up and running. They are a quality side, Atletico Madrid. They've proven it against Juventus. So at odds against, there's odds against out there, I'd be going for Atletico Madrid to win that game. So having a look at the fourfold there, it's just coming just under 10-1, so we'll have a look. We'll get an enhanced price and we'll stick that up on site.
Smashing. Mark, which game are you taking in this weekend?
No, it's working both days, so we're taking a game from the midweek ones, I think, for Team in Focus. So no, office-based.
Yeah. Okay, Dan.
Oh, actually, that's not true. Sorry. On Sunday, I'm not in. It's my daughter's birthday. I'm sorry.
Lucky you remembered.
Yeah, so...
in all sorts.
Yeah, so we'd do something for her.
Lovely. Dan?
Yeah, no, Watford, Leicester on Sunday, yeah.
Yeah. Sunday, okay. Lunchtime. Jason, when are you next going to watch a live football match?
I'll have a look at the North London Derby. I'm in work Saturday, so that's 12:30 Saturday. Working Saturday. I'm playing a match myself Sunday morning, so I'll watch Liverpool-Everton probably at home.
You're a towering centre-back, aren't you?
I've pushed out the full-back now and be on to the bench next. You know, that's the way it's going.
And what's your XG?
It's not bad, actually. You know, I'll chip in with me 2 or 3 goals a season.
Excellent. Good man. Brilliant. Thank you very much, chaps. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, please do rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening. Racing tomorrow and Monday. We've got golf on Wednesday. And then we're back next Thursday for another Racing Post football podcast.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's same game multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the same game multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.